I love real estate because, and I love a specific type of real estate, specifically apartments, because I love the impact I can have on the community. I love the steady, you know, cash flow benefits it comes with. What I don't love is another alternative investment that is oil. It's not that it's a bad investment, guys. People make fortunes in oil. I don't like it. I'm more of a renewable energy guy. Not that I'm opposed to petroleum, but I like the renewable energy side. But I don't love these. It's a symmetric risk, not asymmetric like other things that I'm into. For me, I don't resonate well with that kind of an investment. And it's important for you to know that, because if I wasn't being true to my being and someone like Eunicia said, hey, Chad, I've got these great investment opportunities that are non-Main Street. Here's this oil thing that's going to generate 40% per year on pro forma. And here's this real estate thing that's going to generate 20. I'm going to choose the real estate one because I know who I am. Right. And I know that I will not sleep at night with the oil investment.
One of the things about the industry for dealing with financial services is that real estate is an asset that is only best suited in REITs, and people should invest more there. And that's OK. Some people that are not meant to hold hard assets, brick and mortar assets, it's wonderful. They don't have to think about it. They're still investing in real estate. But there are other individuals. This is kind of where we started, honestly. There are other individuals that love the brick and mortar. They could care less about paper assets. They just really like to know that I got this piece of property and I'm going to ride the market. And at the end of the day, I'm going to still come on the high end. And what it told us was that, exactly like you said earlier, you do not like oil, and that's okay. But somebody else may like oil, or somebody else may like something else. And it's not up to us to tell the client what they should like, because that's what the next best thing is.
You're listening to the Real Estate Runway podcast, powered by Quattro Capital, where we're all about alternative business and investment strategies to help you amplify life and maximize wealth. Here's your host, Chad, the investment maverick.
All right, all right, all right, Real Estate Runway family, welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Runway podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sutton. I'm joined today with my friend, Eunicia Perrette with Excelstra. We have had a time trying to get this episode recorded. I think the last time we did this, Eunicia, I was in a hotel room in Atlanta, and for some reason, they decided to start like jackhammering on the floor above me, and it just wasn't going to happen. So we decided to postpone, get some good quality, but so glad you're here today. Folks, before we get the episode started with Eunicia here, if you get any value out of this show or anything else we do here at Real Estate Runway or Quattro Capital, folks, just interact with it. If you're watching it on YouTube, scrolling it on Instagram, whatever you're doing, just interact with it, like it, subscribe it, share it, pay it forward. The only way the algorithm shows this to more people is if you show that you like it and you share it and you like it and you subscribe to it and all that kind of stuff. So please do that. Pay it forward, folks. There's nothing in this for us. Eunicia, welcome to the show today. It's such a pleasure to have you. How are you?
Chad, it's such a pleasure to be here. And I'm going to re-echo that for folks that are listening. Please pay it forward. I've listened to so many of Chad's podcast episodes, and he does a phenomenal job. And I'll tell you, from the other side, it's not easy constantly showing up for the audience. But I'm sure that if you're showing up, you've gotten some value before.
Absolutely. It's never easy, but it is fun. This is something we do on the side. And I love having these conversations, just like the one we're going to have today. So Eunicia, give me your backstory. It's a very interesting one, folks. So tune into this one. I want to hear what made you who you are today and what got you into the business you're in today. And I want you to explain it, because I'm not going to do as good of a job as you will.
Oh, I love that. Here's what I'll tell you. I'm actually working with a personal coach right now, because, you know, the best of the best in the world have the coach to the coach to the coach.
I still have a coach as well.
There you go. And one of the things he said, Eunicia, you're smart. It's clear that you're brilliant. But we need to make sure that your audience resonates and hears the heart that you have behind what you do for your clients. So I will tell you that everything I do is rooted in growing up and seeing my parents always excel at everything they did. My mom, I'll never forget the fact that her biggest thing was she loved to make sure that the house was always spotless. And her belief was that nobody could do it better than she can. And so because of that, as a child, even though we absolutely had the resources, guess who ended up cleaning the house every single week? And it had to be perfect, because if it wasn't, I had to start all over again. And so, foreshadowing many, many years later, I ended up in strategy consulting. And in strategy consulting, there is no such thing as room for error. We're typically brought in because the client needs the support. They're paying a lot of money for us to be there. And the idea is that everything has to be excellent. And it was, and I had a beautiful time growing and you know, putting elbow grease while I was learning. But what I also realized on a personal note was that our financial house was in total shambles. And I have so much respect for the folks that are listening. You're listening to this podcast because you probably love real estate. And guess what? We loved real estate too. And because of that and the intersection of young and not a whole lot of money and loving real estate, most financial professionals that were probably more on the serious side did not exactly think that we're a good fit. We were a good fit. And in many ways, I'm thankful for that because it's given me visibility into what are the blind spots that we have the opportunity to avoid as individuals when it comes to how our money's invested, where it's invested, and very importantly, what are the different ways in which we can keep more of what we make? And so kind of foreshadowing again, many years later, after and or during my consulting career, as I realized that, it just put this fire inside of me to say, we have got to figure this problem out. It's a problem. When I realized that it wasn't just a problem that my husband and I had, because let me tell you, we lived in the shadows of embarrassment that was self-inflicted because we didn't think that we were good enough or we had enough or we were positioned enough to be able to work with the best of the best. And so I decided that it was time for me to figure out why were we missing out. And what I realized was we were not the only ones. And it's not because anybody is malintentioned. It's because the industry as a whole, when it comes to making money, there are so many different ways in which we can make money from different investment strategies, traditional financial investments, real estate, alternative investments, as well as a component that most people don't really think about is how do we keep more of our money today? Yes, there is absolutely a strategy for taxes down the road, and we have to be cognizant of that. But a big question that unfortunately I realized that we're not asking ourselves is how do we keep more of what we make today? And as we started focusing on that, we realized that it was so powerful and it was delivering so much value to clients that it kind of became our thing. And our thing then continued to morph into because different financial partners or our clients' teams are not going to do the same thing like everybody else does. And that's okay. The question that we then had to grapple with was how can we help the client continue to succeed? And a big part of that aha was we have to make sure that everybody is at the table. And that's kind of our unique approach is making sure that we not only bring the heart, but that we bring fresh perspectives year over year, because if they're not fresh, they're stale. And very importantly, that we make sure that our client's team is in the know as to what those strategies are so that we can then deliver the most impact to our clients.
You know, I can't think of anything more important than, I mean, it's one thing to increase what you're bringing in, whether that be from different real estate or, you know, stock market, life insurance, whatever you decide to put your money into and have it compound and make more money, that's great. But if you're not focusing on, it's kind of like filling up a bathtub and having the drain wide open at the same time. It's going to take a lot more water to fill that thing up if you're bleeding water at a faster rate than you should be, ideally mostly plugging the tub, right? And I think that's what Unicia is trying to get at here is we have to focus on keeping more, right? So Unicia, tell me a little bit about Excelstra. And so you've had this aha moment, you know, you've been, you know, double high income and realized, oh my gosh, there's so much leaving right now. And so you had this aha moment, Excelstra was born. Tell us about what you and the company are doing for the clients that work with you today.
I love that question, Chad, because that's probably one of the areas where a lot of individuals, when they first hear about the mission that we have, which is to help our clients keep more of what they earn and do better with what it is that their money is doing, oftentimes they'll say, oh, we do the exact same thing. And where we're different is in first and foremost, you heard me talk about kind of that quarterback approach, that team approach. We are not just standing behind it, but we live that through and through every single day. And frankly, sometimes it's hard because, you know, individuals don't realize that that's even a thing. Even our clients, broader financial teams, right? Why are we talking to Excelstra? Why are we talking to the folks at Excelstra again? And then we get on a call and they go, oh, wow, well, that was insightful. We didn't know that that was a thing. And so our job is to make sure that, again, everybody is at the same table. Because as we're talking strategies, especially when it comes to taxes, this is not the time to focus on tax strategies. Well, it is for this year, but it's not for last year. And that's what everybody right now is tax season. And everybody's focused on, we got to do our taxes. We got to do our taxes. And we get questions about, is this your busiest time? And the answer is no. Our busiest time was before the end of the year because we were working on strategies. And those strategies had to be implemented before year end, or else we're not dealing with the typical, your 401k, your IRA, things like that. Those are beautiful, but they're on a much smaller scale. So tax strategy is something that we focus on a lot. And then the other pillar that we focus on is addressing this question of where should money be invested? And I so love whenever a client says, well, what do you love, Eunicia? Where do you have your money? It's like, well, I can tell you where I have my money. It's not in any one given place, but this is not about me. This is about you, right? Let's figure out what makes you tick? What makes you happy? What allows you to rest at night because you understand what's happening? And so when people say, well, but you help them with their portfolio, it's like, yes, in some cases we can help them, but in other cases, and so often, we bring to bear strategic partners that have been there, done that, and that we trust in most cases with their own money, because that's how we resonate. And so it's this opportunity to help clients with doing better and living their life at the same time. And then the last component for us is to help clients really maximize what their exit strategy looks like. And again, we go right back to, there has to be a lot of planning. It has to be planning for where do they want to be in the next 5, the next 10, the next 15 or 20 years? Where do they want to be by the time they either retire, or they retire early, or maybe they don't retire at all. They still want to work, but they no longer want to work for money. Or maybe they're thinking about selling a business, and now we're having to start planning for that exit strategy so that they don't end up paying a whole lot of money in taxes when potentially there may be strategies that they can explore to keep more. Again, notice that we're keeping more again. And then the other thing is that ability for us to focus on what legacy means to the clients. That's something that a lot of individuals, unfortunately, think of almost as we're talking about the end of life, and that's not it at all. For most individuals, is more about the how do they show up because of how they want to be remembered in the future. So we kind of address all of those things as part of the program.
That makes a lot of sense. And so walk me through this piece here. You mentioned finding so you could share where you put your money or where I put my money or things of that sort, but you focused on what is right for you, what resonates with you. What are your thoughts on why it's important to not just invest where you might see the best ROI or bang for the buck, but the importance of having it resonate with your, what's core to your being, you know, versus just either following the herd or doing something you don't understand or hate because it may make the most money. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think it's very powerful because, and you pointed it out, right? It's not just about the rate of return. It's about having that understanding. Oftentimes what I see is people don't have an understanding of what they invested in. They're just, you also mentioned another one of my favorite words, the herd mentality, right? We hear about it, and you and I talked before the show about the myriad of emails that you and I, just the two people on this planet alone, get bombarded with every single day. Everything from real estate all the way to crypto, all the way to stocks, and all the way to all sorts of other types of investment techniques, strategies, opportunities, whatever we might call them. And it's hard enough to just constantly press delete and or put it in junk. because sometimes they're written so well and they're so catchy that you're like, I think I could do this, right? And if you and I could be thinking that, what happens with the individual that's sitting and looking at however money is out there for them, thinking, maybe I could make this work. I'm sure I could make this work. I'm going to get the help. But then what we see ends up happening is, because in many cases, those strategies are outside of the world that they typically live in. They're not aligned to who they want to show up as an individual and how they want their money to grow. They don't understand them. What that ends up leading to, it leads to depression. It leads to a lack of confidence. It leads to the inability to even rest at night, because now they're grappling with, did I do the right thing? Did I, you know, should, now the neighbor says, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Or, well, you should have done something else. And so what we find is that when individuals resonate, and even more important than that, when they understand what options they have at their disposal and how those specific options will trigger their own emotions, the decisions become not only much easier, but all of the things that I just mentioned go away. The depression, the questioning, the inability to just be content, all of that goes away, because now they know that the strategies that they've invested in are aligned to who they are and how they show up as individuals. And there is no right or wrong. And unfortunately, I feel like too many times we're being put in these buckets of, if you don't do this, you're not going to achieve that, or you're a bad person, or you're not as good as the neighbor or somebody else. And that should not be a measure of success.
So how do you help your clients not only discover what's out there, but understand what's going to resonate with them? Is there kind of a process behind this, right?
There's a process, yes. And what's hilarious is that when our clients don't follow the process, because, you know, we all, especially those of us that are super smart, which all of our clients are exceptionally smart, sometimes they'll try to shortchange the process, and they'll get to, we have a more detailed conversation and an intake form based on specific things that we would have discussed. When they shortchange the process, it's very clear in the responses. And so it's always hilarious to be able to ask them to say, hey, you did not listen to module, let's say module 3, right? And they'll say, well, I didn't. Well, what about module 4? Well, I started listening to it. It's like, okay, so let's do this. At that point in time, we don't want them to feel like they haven't progressed, which is not the case. They've already started thinking about a lot of those heavy things. But what we want to do is we want to always customize the process to where it meets the client where they're at. And so our methodology basically exposes the client to say, listen, here are the ways in which money grows. Here are the ways through which we think about even taxation, right? Let's start thinking about, when you're looking at all of these things, what resonates most with you? And we start building a lattice model that then informs us to say, okay, here's what the client resonates with or doesn't. So even though they might say, for example, well, I'm young and I've been told that I can withstand higher levels of risk and I'm okay with that because I'm looking at the returns. When we look through our process, after the client has gone through our process, it's beautiful what they'll say. They'll either say, I'm good with that, and it'll be a good validation, or they'll go, Eunicia, I could not possibly look at a statement that says minus 50% or minus 30%. This is my money. And so that's the kind of stuff that we do with the client. And because of that, because of the process that they go through, it gives them the, not just the awareness, but it gives them the confidence that whatever decision they make, it's not only not finite, it gives them an opportunity to make changes and continue to build. We want to make sure that the building blocks and the foundation is solid, because then we can add on to the house, we can build up, we can build sideways, we can do whatever it is that we want, based on, again, what is right for the client.
That makes sense. And there's such wisdom in there, because, and guys, just because something is called an alternative investment, it does not mean you're not following the herd. Okay. Like there's been a very distinct trend in the last several years of real estate, of everybody thinking real estate is gold. Well, guess what? The wind was at our backs and everything turned to gold that we touched. And, you know, times are just moderating now, but that's something to think about, is just because it's not a Wall Street investment, doesn't mean that you're not following the herd. And I can't, I, I love the wisdom of what you just said. You know, and there's a let's think about this for example. I have chosen me, and I'd like to think I'm smarter than the average bear. I'm not going to go further than that, but I am a relatively intelligent individual, and I have invested in a lot of things. For me, I love real estate and I love a specific type of real estate, specifically apartments, because I love the impact I can have on the community. I love the steady, you know, cash flow benefits it comes with. I love when you set them up right, that you're going to win in the long term. Some will be single base hits. Some will be home runs. You don't know in the beginning, but you have to, you know, buy real estate and wait. What I don't love is another alternative investment, that is oil. I am so averse to oil, and it's not that it's a bad investment, guys. People make fortunes in oil. I don't like it. I'm more of a renewable energy guy. Not that I'm opposed to petroleum, but I like the renewable energy side, but I don't love these. It's a symmetric risk, not asymmetric like other things that I'm into. So for me, I don't resonate well with that kind of an investment. And it's important for you to know that, because if I wasn't being true to my being, and someone like Unicia said, "Hey, Chad, I've got these great investment opportunities that are non-Main Street. Here you go. Here's this oil thing that's going to generate 40% per year on pro forma. And here's this real estate thing that's going to generate 20. I'm going to choose the real estate one because I know who I am, right? And I know that I will not sleep at night with the oil investment. And I don't like the byproducts of it. So, wow, just so much wisdom there, Unicia. And what I'd love to get into next is you specifically mentioned tax planning, and we're recording this on March 15th of 2024. So you're probably going to get this towards the end of tax season if you're on the normal cycle. So start thinking about this for next year, because she said something very important. You don't need to be trying to set up your tax strategies in January or February, because you probably have already, the year's closed, right? You have to do stuff before the end of the year. And so you need to be thinking about your tax strategies for this year now, if you haven't already. And I know, Unicia, this is an open-ended question, so I'm going to kind of leave it to you to pick your poison how you want to answer it. But when I say, you know, how do you help your clients with tax strategy planning? And maybe you have some tactical advice to give here, but I know it's definitely investment vehicle dependent and situational dependent, but you know, how do you help your clients set that up? Because that is the one way to keep more or lose more, you know, despite making the same amount of money.
Oh, I love you said something, Chad, about in most cases is investment vehicle dependent. And I kind of disagree with that. I think
okay, the industry mind blown, as a whole, let's go.
Oh, I love it. So I'll give you a story to that, because we're talking about real estate. So here's, before I go into that, I'm going to caveat it here with just a small tangent, and it's a relevant tangent. One of the things about the industry for dealing with financial services is that real estate is an asset that is only best suited in REITs, and people should invest more there. And that's okay. Some people that are not meant to hold hard assets, brick and mortar assets, it's wonderful. They don't have to think about it. They're still investing in real estate. But there are other individuals. This is kind of where we started, honestly. There are other individuals that love the brick and mortar. They could care less about paper assets. They just really like to know that I got this piece of property and I'm going to ride the market. And at the end of the day, I'm going to still come on the high end. And what it told us was that, exactly like you said earlier, you do not like oil, and that's okay. But somebody else may like oil, or somebody else may like something else. And it's not up to us to tell the client what they should like, because that's what the next best thing is. It's all about understanding where they're at, understanding what their options are, and then kind of coming back around to align strategies that are in direct correlation to that. Now, coming back to the question that you were saying about tax strategies, that happens to be one of the biggest misconceptions, that especially when we're dealing with real estate, that it's everything. Real estate is a wonderful asset to hold, not just for the appreciation, depreciation, but also from a tax strategy, right? It's a great day. Real estate in general, it's a great tax planning vehicle, but it's not the only one. When we're dealing with individuals that have huge, huge tax burdens, just because they have a real estate portfolio is not sufficient enough to offset where they're at. So for example, we have clients, when they came to us, they were in the 38% tax bracket, 37, 38% tax bracket. They were in the highest of tax brackets. in terms of marginal tax brackets. And you take that for somebody that's in California and you put on the additional 10%, arguably we're right about 50. Now, those individuals actually had a real estate portfolio. So how do we, can we honestly say that it's tied to a specific investment vehicle? No. And the reason I say that with the wholehearted confidence is because, yes, sometimes the tax savings can be attached to a vehicle, whether it be in the short or in the long term. But oftentimes, it has nothing to do with investments. It has everything to do with the tax code, which is where a big part of what we do is to constantly be on the lookout for what is fresh this year. What are the things that can help clients this year that frankly are not Googleable? They can't just be found out in the open. And even if some by some miracle they were, the client would be paying an arm and a leg for those strategies. And they might get, you know, 3 to 5% out of it. Is that meaningful enough? To many it is when we're dealing with the sum of large numbers. But to many, it's not. And so the question then for us becomes, what are those strategies? So right now, again, we're no longer focused on 2023. That work, we sealed it and everybody was in a really good place at the end of the year, all of our clients. Now the focus is on what are the strategies that will be applicable to 2024, 2025, or beyond. And all of those are in direct alignment to the tax code. So there's nothing funny, there's nothing weird, there's nothing that will scream, oh my God, somebody's taking advantage of the tax code. It's really more focused on what's the latest legislation? How did it change? How can we make sure this is, you know, our strategic partners, their biggest thing is making sure that the client is not at risk when it comes to the IRS. Because let's look at what happened with ERTC. It blew up in such a major way that within a week, it was all shut down. And we still don't know the repercussions of all of the people that said, oh my gosh, I just send me all of that money. Conservation easements is another one, right? Everybody jumped on the bandwagon. So the idea is we need to be strategic. Strategy just has to be there because if not, we're the ones that ultimately suffer. And we don't want to be on the suffering side. We want to be on the side where we gain the benefit and we can sleep better at night. That's a big thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess I should clarify what I said earlier. There are certain things available to certain, you know, investment strategies that may not be to other. For example, if you're not in real estate, you're not going to get to do a cost segregation study, as you mentioned earlier before our call.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about the direction you're taking with it is like, look, we need to be looking at everything you have and focusing on what's available in the tax code. So, you know, how do you stay up on, you know, the not only the changes in the tax code, but also the application of it? And what are, like, I don't know, your top three, I don't know if you want to call them strategies or applied tax savings mechanisms that you might say, okay, anyone who is an investor needs to know about this. You know, what would you say there?
So I love the question, but it's a two-part question. So let's address it.
I'm bad about
its
respective
that,
you know? I'm really bad.
That's
about
okay.
That.
I'm good about deciphering through that. The first part was, how do we stay up to date on that? And here's what I'll tell you. And my clients love the fact that we're very transparent. And I know I've had new clients in the past saying, "Well, why don't you just do it internally, Eunicia?" And my argument is, the question becomes, do you want me to be at the 30,000 foot level where we can actually decipher, figure out the strategies and make sure that they get implemented correctly? Or do you want us to live in the 5 foot level where it's all about the tactics and we forget about the strategies? I want you to be in the strategies. Well, in order for us to be in the strategies, we've looked at bringing things and doing them in-house, but we don't want to be jacks of all trades, masters of none. We know where we're really good at. And so what we do is we collaborate with strategic partners that all they do is they focus sometimes on one single line of the tax code. And that's their entire business. And they've been in business for many, many, many years. And if they ever bring something new to bear, it's so unique and so strategic that it's just that. It's unique and it's strategic. And it has the company's name and reputation behind them. And that is very important to us. Again, it's not all about what we can do on our own little island. It's about how do we bridge the gap for the client's benefit. So that's number one.
That's solid, by the way. I mean, that's a scary thing when people start thinking, hey, I can dream up something that'll work for the tax code. I'm like, okay, yeah, but there's a lot of gray area, and there's meant to be gray area. It's meant to be litigatable, right?
So yes.
Anyway,
yes. Continue. And one of the things that honestly tickles me is whenever I talk to individuals, especially in like family offices, right? A lot of super high net worth individuals will say, well, I'm dealing with a family office, so I get it all. They do get a lot of it, but they also can potentially miss out on several strategies, because if a company only focuses on specific strategies and we don't have the bandwidth or the capacity or the manpower to focus on what is new, what is fresh, to your point from earlier, what are the changes that are impacting us this year, maybe next year, in the future, then it's hard to change that ship around quickly enough to where it makes the biggest impact. So that's where our belief is, that we just need to make sure that we're okay working as long as we're working with the best of the best in order to keep those strategies fresh. The other question that you were asking was, what are the strategies that I like the most or that I see working the best for many clients? Here's what I'll tell you. A lot of the strategies that we work with, I'm under heavy and we're under heavy NDA. We can't and we won't just publicize them out there, because the moment we do that, they become like everything else that has been publicized and where people got into a lot of trouble. And we talked about some of those already, right? But what I can tell you is that the same philosophies that, or the same strategies that apply to some don't apply to others. So we'll take CostSeg, for example, and CostSeg, of course, is changing and percentages are going down. But even while everything was at the same level, right? Comparison was still, 100% and everything was fine. There's always going to be someone that says you should do CostSeg to someone that has a real estate portfolio. And so the approach that we take is to say, okay, CostSeg is an option. Let's put it to the test. Is it or is it not? And we don't just look at it on the side of, a study is being conducted, but even before the study is being conducted, let's look at what the numbers are telling us from the CostSeg company. And then let's make sure that on the tax side, it makes sense. And here's what I'll tell you. Out of two individuals that might be looking at CostSeg, one or maybe 0.3%, right, of the subset population might actually be okay for a CostSeg. It may be warranted for them to pay for that study and for the other not. And if we were to look at a big enough sample size, the numbers may be skewed even more, because it's not just about the immediate benefits and the immediate impact. It might even be dovetailing into how long is the client going to hold the property and what is their broader tax situation. So I used an example of something that our listeners are probably very well aware of and very in tune with. Not to say that it's good or bad. It's a wonderful opportunity. Is it applicable to everyone? No. And there's nothing wrong in the yes or the no. The wrong is oftentimes people implement it and then down the road they decide that, or they realize that, oh my gosh, based on what I'm trying to do now, it really was not the smartest decision. And that's what we're trying to make sure is that as clients evaluate the opportunities, it should never be with just the goal of minimizing taxes. It has to address a bigger business purpose. It has to address a bigger personal purpose, family purpose. And when we can attach those potential savings to something that's potentially even bigger than the tax side, then it's beautiful, because now we've got the validation on the onset that yes, it's the right solution and it's going to be okay in the short or in the long run.
So you mean they're not one size fits all?
Nope.
How about that?
I know.
Well, Eunicia, this has been a fantastic episode. Thank you for coming on and sharing your knowledge of what Excelstra is doing and just the holistic approach you really need to take if you're going to be, a master of your own future, master of your own money. And gosh, if you feel bombarded by all the things out there today, I'd venture to say Excelstra might be a great resource for you to figure out what is true to your being and, you know, truly lay out the right strategy for you and the tax strategies to help you keep more. So, Eunicia, before we go, let's answer four questions that are the Quattro questions. And the first one is, what is your superpower, life or business, and how does it serve you well?
So my ultimate superpower is the ability to understand problems and fix them. And how that serves me well? We'll start on a personal side. It has become just an amazing opportunity to share what life looks like with our children, to help them be better citizens in their own decisions and in their own problem solving situations. But more importantly, when it comes to work and to very close to my heart, for our clients, they get to benefit from knowing and being able to rest assured that their problems will be addressed. And that permeates not just in what I do as an individual, but in what we do as a business. And there's nothing more beautiful for us than when we hear a client saying, oh my gosh, if it wasn't for you, and the rest fill in the blank, right? It's going to be different from a client to another. That's what makes us just sing every single day.
I love that. Now flip the coin over. What is the biggest mistake you've ever made? Could be life or business. And most importantly, what did you take away from it?
So here's the thing that I will tell you, and it's amazing because I told you about the personal coach that I work with, and my philosophy has always been that our biggest adversities are the things that are making us most successful. So I'm going to flip the response a little bit because one of the biggest, and I won't call them failures, but it was one of the biggest trials and tribulations actually ended up being the biggest success for where we are and where Excelstra is today. And it's also a huge lesson learned. It was partnerships. And it was going into situations that maybe did not feel that were in alignment with who we were, who I was, but kind of saying, you know what, gut, it's just, I'm going to put you down for a moment. You just stay in your little corner. Trust me, because I got this. And what I realized in hindsight, because hindsight is always 20/20, was that had I listened to my instincts, I would not have gone through the hardship. But at the same time, I do not look back on it with regret. And that's just one example. I do not look on it with regret at all, because that same exact experience or those same exact experiences are the same key ingredients that have helped me realize the success on the other side of that equation.
Couldn't have said that better myself. And every mistake you make is part of the being that you are today. So I love that.
So true.
Let's go to the next one here. So we always give our guests an opportunity to promote or talk about something you've got coming down the pipe. I know y'all have a lot of developments going on the podcast front, the strategy front, but what is the best way you would want to share that to the audience of how to keep up with Excelstra and going forward?
I love that. And one of the easiest ways is to just check us out. We're obviously on all of social media, either under Excelstra or under just Eunicia Perrette, myself directly. And how to follow us, the easiest way is to just follow us on our website at excelstra.com. That's excelstra.com. And let us know. You can interact with us there. You can send us questions. We'd love to hear what are some of the things that maybe you would like to hear once we are fully launched with our podcast. We've got two podcasts that are coming up, very different nuances because of the need that we're seeing. And so if you're battling with something or if you have questions or you'd like to hear more of something, let us know. I'm sure Chad would love it as well for his own podcast, and we'll just have some fun with it. So excelstra.com.
That's right. I love that. And folks, if you're driving, just like always, this will be down in the show notes section or wherever you're listening. So just scroll right on down and it's there for your clicking pleasure. And last question, Eunicia, before we let you go back to your busy life. Here at Quattro, we have four main pillars that drive our core being. That is people, property, profits, and philanthropy, coming back and taking care of people. I love to give my guests an opportunity to just share their philanthropic heart anywhere that you like to give back your time, talents, and treasures. And you would be surprised, people on this show have actually gone, if it's a actual charity, they've actually gone and donated on behalf of our guests at times. So what is that for you, Eunicia?
Well, I love that question, Chad. And the reason I love it is because we actually have multiple causes that we really stand behind. And oftentimes they're not the causes that you'll see advertised anywhere, because we're huge. My husband and I are huge believers that there are people suffering in silence. And that's where we want to be. We want to be with the people that nobody's advocating for. We want to be with the people that are suffering in silence and they're just taking life as it comes. So we were born in Romania, and we know that there's a lot of need for help there. So through several local organizations and individuals that we have there, we always find out about cases that just, again, they're not publicized, and we help out. And then the other thing that we discovered as of most recent is Haitian families that immigrated to the Dominican Republic, and just the lack of support. One of my dear friends who does a lot of work there says, listen, we need to teach those people to fish, because if we just give them the fish, they'll never learn how to fish on their own. And so we've become significantly involved with providing support in terms of education, with providing children that were born without papers, meaning they don't have a birth certificate. They certainly don't have a passport. And because of that, they don't have the ability in many cases to go to school, and certainly not to have a job. So we've been kind of providing support around those areas in order to give individuals an opportunity and a fighting chance at what is life and what they may or may not want to do with it down the road.
That's incredible. I love those missions, Eunicia. And folks listening today, I'm calling on you right now. So if this touches your heart and you want to, maybe you're inspired to give with Eunicia and these causes, Eunicia, what is the best way to do that? And it could be contacting you if there's no public way to do this. But
I would say the best way would be to contact us. And the reason for that is when it comes to what we do in Romania, that's right, wrong, or indifferent, is a lot of not even word of mouth, because again, we're looking for the families that are suffering in silence. But when it comes to, as it comes to the Dominican Republic, we're in the process of forming a more formalized partnership with an organization that works a lot there. We're still assessing. We're still looking at some of the ways that they do things. We want to make sure that what the company or what the organization that we're partnering with says that they ultimately do. And so as that continues to solidify, we would love to put you in touch. Just reach out to us again, social media or at excelstra.com. And it would be our pleasure to provide visibility to what that looks like and what those programs are.
All right, audience, you're up. So Eunicia, thank you for coming on the show today. I really appreciate your insights. This is a whole nother level of strategy setup that I think we a lot of times don't think about. We get comfortable in our little niche and think we know it all, and maybe we don't. So best way to contact you, excelstra.com, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, team, audience. This has been another great episode of the Real Estate Runway Podcast. Until next time, over and out.
Thanks, Chad.
We hope this episode was insightful and brought value to your day. If so, please be awesome and leave us a 5-star review. Find out how Team Quattro can help you at thequattroway.com and scroll down for more info. Until next time, this is the Real Estate Runway Podcast.